Welcome to Nationwide Today. This is the discussion hour. Good evening. My name is Lucy Kiden. And today we'll be looking at the importance of localizing peace and reconciliation efforts as South Sudan has been really thriving, or rather sustained by peace efforts, peace processes. I would say peace agreements are part of South Sudan's DNA. And several agreements have so far been signed to get South Sudan to its current state. I'll mention some of them. We've had the Addis Ababa Agreement of 1972 that ended the first Sudanese civil war by granting the South its autonomy. And then there was the 2005 Comprehensive Peace Agreement, CPA, that led to the 2011 referendum that ushered in South Sudan's independence. Now we have what we call the roadmap. Now the roadmap is a product of multiple extensions of the revitalized peace agreement, RACIS, that started as the 2015 agreement on the resolution of the conflict of Republic of South Sudan. This was right after the 2013 conflict. Now this established the transitional government of unity. However, after the 2016 conflict, later in 2018 it was revitalized and has since evolved, and now we're at a place where elections need to happen, and we have the roadmap that needs to end the revitalized peace agreement and process, as well as the transitional period. And so the democratic transition is set for December this year, 2026. And also just recently we had the Tumaini Peace Initiative. So yes, peace agreements are in the DNA of South Sudan. And so I have guests joining me to just unpack this topic. And before I introduce them, I would like to let you know that today will be a little special. We'll not be taking any calls. It's going to be more informative and educative, and so we shall be able to take calls another time as we revisit the topic. And so we have guests. Mary Kaje Lona is a civil society representative and head of the technical secretariat of the Homegrown Initiative. She will mention a little bit more about what Homegrown Initiative is during the program. And we also have Honorable Malish Noel Scopus, Member of Parliament of the State Transitional Legislative Assembly, representing Mugo Payam of Yei River County, and is also member of South Sudan's Presbyterian Church, Central Equatoria State, and associate pastor in Yei Parish. And so, yes, lady and gentlemen, Mary Kaje and my Honorable Malish, you're very welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having us.
And thank you for making the time. All right, now, let's start with understanding the status of this transitional period and the revitalized peace agreement and process with what has been achieved so far and what is pending. Mary Kaje, what is your general analysis of the peace process?
Well, thank you very much. My general understanding or the perception of how the peace agreements have been implemented in South Sudan is that it has been characterized by protracted transition and extension after extension. And I think that reflects a deeper lack of will to implement the agreements. So I would, in a nutshell, say that we have fixated into agreements and extensions and transition where the country needs to stop. Because Lucy, right from independence, if you realize, we were supposed to have election in 2015, but because there was violent political conflict in 2013, it led to postponement of the elections, which was to be the first election as an independent state. And since then, we have been extending and moving the goalpost. And I think citizens are frustrated, and there has to be a way to stop that.
Okay. Thank you very much. And indeed, when you talk about frustration, there has been a call for localization, as I would wrap it up as, like more engagement of the youth, of the grassroots. So I just want to put this on the table for Honorable Malish. You, as a Member of Parliament, you are in touch with the people more than any other arm of the government. What is localization of anything, really, of any process, before we speak specifically to peace?
Yeah, thank you, Lucy Kidel, and thank you, Mary Kaje, for this interview. I think it is really an opportune time for us to really look into the issues of our country, the Republic of South Sudan. The localization of this peace initiative is the key, in the sense that we all are indigenous people of this country, and all that is happening, it is affecting us in one way or the other. As you raised the question initially, you know, this country had undergone a lot of processes. You brought in the first liberation struggle of 1972, and then again the SPLM, then end up in the Comprehensive Peace Agreement in 2005. Then we had the interim period, where lastly, because the component of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement are three things. We have a census, a midterm election, and a referendum. And successfully, we had our independence. And we thought things are going to be normal. And immediately, the country went to austerity measures, I remember, in 2012. Then again, 2013, civil war broke out in Juba. And at that time, the spillover went to those ends of Boru, Upper Nile, and the people continued. And I think Mary Kaje did mention the 2015 agreement came in. Then again, we thought, you know, things will work. Then again, July 2016 to 2017, again, these were actually also now engulfed the whole of Greater Equatoria. After this time, people are really suffering. Therefore, bringing this thing home is better, because all attempts had been done in Nairobi, discussions outside the country. We said, why can't we try? Because at the end of the day, it is us suffering. It is us who are really losing lives, property, dignity, in many aspects in life. We better own it as the indigenous people in this country that we love dearly, and we desire that all our political elites will really look into this country, love this country, and put things right. That's why the aspect of localizing the peace processes is key, particularly at this juncture, because all options we tried, we learned from all the previous attempts. And I do remember back in 2013, there was an independent celebration of Uganda. And then I think one of the ambassadors was interviewed through Radio Mirai, that what lessons should the South Sudanese learn from Uganda. And I think he gave a very simple information. He said South Sudanese should not reinvent the wheel. They should, you know, jump to the wheel and move, which means we are in the 21st century. We should learn from other people how, you know, they started thriving, to live in peace, in harmony, and started rebuilding their country, other than this communal violence and conflict and the raiding, heavily armed cattle movement, and all this kind of thing. This is really a paining, and if we don't act, then we'll be held responsible, and even history will judge us.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Honorable Malish, for explaining why it is important to now bring in the localization aspect. But Mary Kaje, is this a new concept for South Sudan? Is it a new approach towards peace, or has it been there and it's just not being given enough attention? Yes, Lorna. Okay, looks like Lorna dropped from the call. I'll try and get her back on. But then, Malish, you could still answer the same question. Is this a new concept, this concept of localization, or has it been tested and tried before?
I think we are not an island. There are academicians and there are really eminent personalities who have brokered several peace agreements and a lot of lessons learned around the region, in Africa, and even globally. And I think it is an integration of several, you know, concepts. I will not describe it as new, because our problem is not new. This problem happening in other places, though to us, like new, because even our neighbor, Uganda, once was described as a failed state, but now, because of leadership, stability, security, and the economy is moving well, and now people refer to Uganda that is peaceful, but once in a while was also underwent the same challenges that we are having. Therefore, we are bringing all these concepts. How can we best salvage our situation from what is happening? Because it's really hurting us a lot. It's not a new concept to me.
All right. So, yes, Lorna, sorry about the technical issues. You dropped off the call. But just before you rejoined, Malish was talking about this concept. Is it new or has it been there before? And he's saying it's not new. What is your thought, this localization aspect of peace efforts and processes? Is it something new or has it been tested and tried in your experience? And did it work? Did it not? Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Lucy. I agree with Malish. The concept of localization and localizing peace efforts and reconciliation efforts is not new. It has happened in the past. And if you can recall the Wounded process, it's a localized peace process. And it's a peace process that is intended to address, yes, political issues between two main political actors during the movement, but the community, the role of the community was very important, and that was localized. And it's one of the success stories that South Sudanese are talking about, plus many other processes. And we have recently at the Homegrown Peace Initiative WhatsApp group, we have been looking at these peace processes, the localized peace processes, and we realize that there are success stories. For example, what the late Bishop Paride Taban was doing with Kuron Peace Village, it is a localized peace effort. So I would say that, yes, there has been success, but the challenge has been how do we carry the success forward and how do we utilize the success to inform the national picture? Because if you look at the many peace agreements that are being signed, it's actually a result of elite bargain. And that's why they only end at satisfying the warring parties and apportioning positions. And sometimes I would say that apportioning lofty positions that are not necessarily helpful to the country. Like, look at the state of South Sudan right now. We have 35 ministries, but look at services. I was just looking at a message somewhere, and Uganda is offering electricity to Nimule, while the same us would be saying that there is invasion, but we are the ones allowing that invasion. So I think what I would say is that, yes, there were successes in localized peace efforts. It is not new, and it's time we go back to the roots and be able to accept that every peace process is not to satisfy the political elite, nor the fighting groups, but rather the people of South Sudan, and that includes those in the countryside.
Okay. And just before I get back to Malish, let me ask you another question, Mwedekaje. Yes, So this is not a new concept. However, the choice to have peace agreements outside the country and involved outside mediators was made. Why do you think that was? Why wasn't the immediate decision towards a localized process? Why do you think?
Well, you know, if you look, like if you remember what happened in 2013, it was chaotic. And we cannot, you know, that chaos impacted internal mechanisms as well. So yes, it was necessary for an external intervention, which we so much appreciate IGAD intervening to call the parties to the table, plus many more. They sent to Tumaini. We have the holdout groups are out, and new factions are coming up. So it was necessary to have an external intervention. However, I think what needs to be done is that, one, the parties that go to the table should stop lying to the external mediators that they are truly representing the people's voices. I have ever been to the table, and I will say this without fear of contradiction. Sometimes the parties on both sides lie and say that they represent people. They don't represent us. Number two is that when the mediation process is going on, it's important to leave space back home for localized dialogue and localized discourse about the issues that are being discussed at the table. That's the only way we can be able to engage and ground the concessions and the peace agreement itself to the realities of South Sudanese. We tried as civil society to take ourselves to the table, but you realize that after signing the agreement, the parties tend to run away from the people and alienate the people and only focus on power and position sharing. And that is a big mistake, because then they're not going to implement the agreement by themselves. They need the people. So I think, yes, that is the shortcoming that we've had and we've seen in the past. And I hope moving forward, that will not be the case. I hope moving forward, anything pertaining to the governance of the country must reflect the views and aspirations of the local communities.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that. Coming now to you, Honorable Malesh, what are those unique aspects that will expand, or rather add on top of what the other peace agreements have achieved so far? What unique aspects does localization bring to the table?
Yeah, thank you, Lucy Kiden. As you pose the question, why peace agreements done by outsiders? I think I'm in agreement with my sister Lorna. When you have a dispute, and of course your neighbor, because of the digger of past, then will come and mediate. And for several occasions, I think the region really came to our aid. We appreciate that. And this time, now we need to look into ourselves. What we wanted to be unique is the ownership, owning the process. Remember, in 2015, the leadership of this country signed one of the agreements with the reservations. Therefore, these are the things Sister Lona is saying. You know, our leaders sometimes are not honest when they are, you know, inching their signature to these agreements. Therefore, we wanted to look internalize our peace process, because at the end of the day, it is us. Will it be as citizens of this country? Will it be managing the affairs of this country? But if we continue in the cycle of revenge and, marginalizing other people and the like, it is really a challenge. And we are bringing in this aspect of ownership, because if you own something and you believe in it and you'll be able to, you know, sustain it, you'll be able to manage it intelligently. But if this is something that is just given to you in a silver plate, then you don't care. You started, you know, devolving mechanism of, you know, getting rid of it, because you don't believe that it is part and parcel of you. Because at the end of the day, we are South Sudanese. And how can we usher ourselves in a sustainable peace process?
All right. Thank you. Mary Kadje, what can you add to that? That was a really good addition. What more can you say?
Well, I think what he has, I totally agree with Malesh. And I don't know if I really have to add, but what I would say is that what Malaysia has spoken is the spirit of the Homegrown Peace Initiative. We do appreciate that, yes, external help, actors help, but we also know that peace cannot come from outside. People must be involved. It must be localized. It must be owned by South Sudanese, and it must be nurtured and safeguarded by people who need it. And I remember one time during the negotiations in 2014-2015 in Bahadur, PLO Lumumba came and gave a lecture to all of us who were there. And finally, he told us South Sudanese that he will speak the truth because he knows that after here, he's taking his flight to his home, which is peaceful. It's up to us to be able to make ours peaceful. You know, that I wish we listened. And that actually means we have to consolidate, we have to ground the peace that we are negotiating. And that's the only thing I want to add. I want to say that peace must begin with us, and it cannot be brought to us without an effort. Malish knows how to put it better.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lorna and Malish, for explaining this. And now, you just mentioned the Homegrown Initiative. Could you maybe help us understand where you're at currently? You did touch a little bit about, you know, looking back at the other localized processes in the past that were successes. Where are you at in terms of ensuring that localization takes place?
Well, thank you. We are at a point that we have looked at three local peace processes that are close to the citizens, and citizens were involved. That is, as I mentioned earlier, the Wounded Peace Process, that people-to-people peace process, the model that Bishop Paride used in Kuron Peace Village, and the Madi Acholi Peace Process. And we still leave room for more, for looking into more other success stories. But basically with this, we are at a point where we're picking the positives, we are drawing the lessons, because there are lessons to be learned from those processes, even if there are shortcomings, there are reasons why those shortcomings are there. And with that information, we are at a point where soon we will be sitting down to build a model that we think can fit our context, but it can be that can be replicated in all the 10 states and the three administrative areas, because we are also aware that these different parts of the country are very unique and the conflicts are different. Number two is that we have also started doing conflict mapping to be able to understand the conflict, that the kind of conflict that we have. And with that, we have gotten rich information about one location, which is actually where Malaysia comes from. And thank you very much, Malaysia. That's some great work done over there to understand what has been ailing the Mugo Payam. And we expect different volunteers to be able to profile the conflict where they are, so that we are able to now find localized interventions. And these localized interventions are cost effective, they are sustainable, and they are nurturing, because then the spirit and the culture of peace will be inculcated in the society. Again, the Homegrown Peace Initiative is looking at how do we translate the 11 principles that we have developed into different languages and be able to disseminate that through existing infrastructure. And one of our biggest asset is the existence of the traditional authority and the network of the faith-based institutions in the country. That is an amazing infrastructure for peace building and nurturing peace in South Sudan. So we are at that point, plus many other things. Citizens are starting, the volunteers are starting to ask themselves, plus citizens who are not yet on the WhatsApp group, they're asking themselves, with the many propaganda that is going on, how safe are we and where is the correct information? And there's already appetite for getting correct information, and we are thinking through how best can we be able to find authentic sources of information. And I think this is a challenge to the parties and the government. We are saying that we need to hear correct information, but also as citizens, we are thinking, and we might share next, in the next meeting, we might share an idea.
Okay. We'll be expecting that then. Thank you very much. Yes, if you have just tuned in, this is Nationwide Discussion. And my name is Lucy Kiden, and with me, I have Mary Kajelona, Civil Society Representative and Head of the Technical Secretariat of the Homegrown Initiative. And also we have Honorable Malish Nowels-Coppers, who is a Member of Parliament, State Transitional Legislative Assembly, representing Mugo Payam, Yei River County. Now, we're talking about localization of peace processes, and in this case, we are looking at the revitalized agreement and process, and the roadmap that is expected to lead us to democratic transition. And so, a lot has been shared, and some key aspects are the importance of localization, the importance of ownership by the local people, by the people who need this peace, in order for them to, once you own it, then you're able to protect it, you're able to sustain it, you're able to take action. And so that is where there seems to be a need for South Sudan to drive towards regarding peace initiatives and processes. And one other thing that was mentioned as well is the fact that, yes, there was need for the intervention by the neighboring countries to come and mediate after the 2013 and 2016 conflicts. But then now there seems to be an even more pressing need for South Sudanese to own the peace process. And so, yes, getting back to the discussion now, coming to you, Honorable Malish. Yes, we've looked at the importance of this localization of peace processes. We've seen that it works, as Lorna earlier mentioned, some of them. And so what would be the practical steps in the current state that we're in? There's been a kind of stalemate where it is not clear where we're going. So what would be some of the practical steps? We already said that what has happened with the revitalized peace agreement has been important, but then how can we move forward if localization is to be adapted?
Yeah, thank you, Lucy. I think Donna mentioned what the homegrown peace initiative for South Sudan is attempting to address, and particularly the issue of conflict mapping. It's very, very important so that we'll be able to have a comprehensive analysis of all that is happening in different parts of this country, the 10 state and the 3 administrative areas, so that it will be brought to the table of the homegrown peace initiative for South Sudan. This is very important. And also, we are trying to see if we can emulate the same spirit of one-led this initiative, where people to people, and let us just see zero down to Payam to Payam, you know, peace dialogue. We need to look into this, and even community to community. The challenge will be the funding aspect of it. Otherwise, if we could have the resources available, I think there will be success stories, because people are prepared. I would like to assure you that the people are prepared for peace, even in Yei River County, whether the leadership in the government, the people in the community, the stakeholders, church leaders, chiefs, youth, women, they are tired, because all this protracted war is taking us nowhere other than destruction, loss of lives, retarding development. And I think we are really are trying to revisit the previously, you know, successful peace initiatives. And Lorna Merikaje mentioned the Wunlet and the Made Acholi peace process, and also previously the Kejiko 1 and the Kejiko 2. which actually usher this country towards the Comprehensive Peace Agreement. And these are all success stories that we are not working in a vacuum, that will bring everything into the front line. We need to begin from the grassroots. That's why the name homegrown, it should come right from the bottom. It is a bottom-top approach. Despite the fact that they are up there, things are not all that clear. But let us begin from the bottom so that we will, you know, march up there.
All right. Thank you very much. Work needs to begin from the ground up, from the grassroots, from the local leaders, from the chiefs, from the women in the homes, heading up towards the national level. That is what Honorable Malish is saying here. And that is indeed the definition of localization. It is shifting power, resources, and decision making to the local actors, recognizing that sustainable peace must be built from the ground up. So there you are taking into consideration community knowledge and context, as well as specific resolutions, rather than relying on international actors who have whose context may not be the same with ours here in South Sudan. Now, Lorna, we are now soon closing this discussion due to time. However, I would like to just ask you, where are you at as the homegrown initiative? I'm pretty sure you're just a fraction of the population. Where are you at as far as tabling this to be either adopted, and who could be the stakeholders for this process?
Well, thank you very much. The Homegrown Peace Initiative for South Sudan is a unique process. It's a process that, as I said on the first day we were on Miraya, that this is not a process that we expect to have a report at the end of the day, and maybe another big woman or big man will lock it in a safe and say, I am not implementing it. This is a process which has to roll through as it grows. It's building its own accountability mechanisms, and we do acknowledge that there are things that need to be spoken by citizens, but it need to be actualized by the faith-based leaders. There are some that need to be actualized by traditional authority. There are those that need to be propelled and taken to the high leadership of the country and to the political actors. So at the moment, we are at the process, as I told you, we are building a model that is based on experiences and lessons from this other peace process. We are also at a point where we are asking ourselves, how can we be able to have a mechanism that helps to inform citizens? Because you know, I know that information to us as citizens is not coming from accurate sources. There's a lot of propaganda, and when the propaganda is rolling out there, it causes a lot of instability and also economic destabilization to people who are already struggling. So we are at a point where we are asking ourselves, how best can we do that? But we are also still calling upon all South Sudanese who are peace-loving, that we know for a fact that from the previous experiences, peace from outside cannot be the only way to get peace. So we are still maintaining the clarion call. Come, let's join hands and work together in peace, work together in unity to restore peace and stability in our beloved country. And we still use the same WhatsApp number. If you allow me, I can read it out, Lucy.
That sure, please go ahead.
That is plus 211-928-465-104. Plus 211-928-465-104. That's our WhatsApp number. Whoever is ready now to join, because we are not saying whoever is interested, whoever is ready to join, please just send a WhatsApp message to that number so that you get on board.
And do you have any other socials?
Yes, we have our Facebook page, which is Homegrown Peace Initiative South Sudan. And you can send us an email too through our our official email address, which is homegrownpeaceinitiative.ss@gmail.com. And we have our Twitter handle, which is at HGPI.
Okay. Thank you very much, Lorna. And just to conclude now, I will throw it over to Honorable Malish. What is your message to the people regarding localization of peace processes? And if it comes to their door, how should they respond?
Yeah, I think it is upon all of us, because I believe peace is our duty, peace is our inheritance, and peace is our collective work. It is us as leaders, you know, to come to the ground and engage our people. Engage our people that it is the way to go. It is the way to go for us to ask ourselves in a peaceful environment. If we don't act now, and then we are subjecting the coming generation for another cycle of continuity in violence. We need really to sensitize our communities, to be with them, identify with them, and keep on, like the initiative brought forward by the Home Grown Peace Initiative, conflict mapping, which is the key, so that we will be able to see how we can address it locally, at the state apparatus, and even with other development partners. I see Lorna put it, those who are willing to join us.
All right. Thank you very much. As you've heard, localization is one of the many ways to achieve the peace process. And why not try it? I mean, we all want to achieve the same thing. And as the saying goes, there's always many roads that can lead to one place. And so if you are interested in, not interested, let me quote Lorna, if you are ready, you're welcome to join the process. Thank you very much, Honorable Malish and Lorna Merekade, for joining this particular discussion here on the importance of localization of peace and reconciliation efforts in the country. I do wish you a lovely evening as you continue to go on about your daily activities. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having us, Lucy.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Well, yes, this is a nationwide discussion, and we've just come to the end of the program. And up next, we will definitely have the news bulletin coming up. And then after that, we will be able to continue with Nationwide News Hour with my colleague, Sunny Martin. Do stay tuned for more programming that will be there throughout the evening. I wish you a wonderful evening. Bye-bye.